Good morning! This is Baron Vaughn from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for April 5th, 2022. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Chip, I highly recommend that you take a trip, go take a drive. Spring break is over, and I'm just living the wonderful glow of that trip that I went on in New Orleans.
And New Orleans, Steve? Did you say New Orleans?
Yes. Surprisingly, I did not acquire an accent in the week that we were in New Orleans. But yes, it was wonderful to be out of the house, to be in the warmth, to be in the sunshine, to take walks every day. I highly recommend everybody take a break.
Well, Steve, that's why the beignets and chicory coffee taste so good this morning.
Film at 11. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Chip, did you make it to the movie theater to watch a movie this week?
Steve, I did make it to a movie theater. I did watch a film. It was a private screening for me, Steve.
What did you get a chance to see this week in the movie theater?
I got to see Morbius.
Oh, this is the new Marvel Spider-Man Spider-Verse movie about a guy that accidentally turns himself into a vampire.
Exactly. And this is a Sony. This is not to be confused with the MCU. This is a Sony film. So this is Spider-Man in the Sony Spider-Man universe. And our movie is Morbius, and it is truly a B movie.
Okay.
Like a real B movie. Like the whole time I'm watching it going, wow, this could be a movie from, you know, like the 50s. Okay. And I want to make sure I'm very clear. It had a great cast. The movie is kind of hokey. It isn't because of the actors. It's just because of the how it was presented. And the ending of the movie where they're kind of setting up the next one is just absolutely bizarre, because there is nothing in this movie that says Spider-Man. Yet Spider-Man is listed as, like, hey, let's get together and go fight Spider-Man. And Spider-Man is not even in this film. So this film really could be a standalone film that is not part of this universe. But, you know, why not just throw out something odd?
The reviews have been absolutely devastating on this film. There have been a lot of people that hated this movie. Did you hate this movie, Chip?
I don't hate this movie. Okay. I just don't. It just wasn't executed very well. And I'm going to say, let me say 40 out of 100. So, I mean, it's not bad to watch. I mean, you can watch it and certainly enjoy it for what it is. Like I said, I think the actors did a great job. It's just something is off when Sony takes on these characters and tries to make a movie. They really struggle to kind of create the universe. And you, at that point, you realize how special the MCU is and how they've integrated all of these films. And Sony seems to struggle with it.
So what's the audience for this one? Who would you suggest go see this movie?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I guess the audience that would go see Venom, which I did not see.
Aha. That's a lot of the reviews are saying that this is very much in that Venom universe. And that movie I did not go see. I don't know that I've seen the two Venom movies.
Steve, this is the Spider-Man universe. This is not the Venom universe. Hmm. But this is Sony's version, and it just seems to, like I said, they seem to struggle on how to integrate these and even determine where the storylines will go. So I thought the character was fine. I think that they put together, when I say a reasonable story, there's a reasonable bad guy, there's a reasonable motivation. The character is not as interesting as it could be, but it's more interesting than the one in the comic books. Hmm. And so, I mean, this is a, you know, I wouldn't say a forgettable character, but just sort of a character. And Sony just, one, struggles with just knowing these characters. And the second thing they struggle with is how to integrate these things, because there had to be something cut out of this film that had Spider-Man in it that made there was a motivation to, like, all right, we're going to go after Spider-Man. Morbius is an anti-hero. He is a person who wants to do good, but, you know, he's in a bad circumstance. And this is Barry Spider-Man, by the way, is a lot of their villains and a lot of the people in the Marvel universe in general. You know, they're scientists. They're trying to solve something. Something goes wrong. And boom, they have, and they're, you know, the good guys or bad guys. So for Morbius, he is an anti-hero, much like the Punisher is an anti-hero. And it's just not done very well.
Okay. I accept your review. I was really interested to hear what you had to say. One of the headlines I saw was, here are the post-credit scenes so that you don't have to watch the movie. And I laughed at that. I thought, oh boy, if the post-credit scenes are the best part of this movie, there's a good chance I will not see this one in the theater.
Jared Leto just seems to be given bad characters. He really played an excellent person. So anyway, let's just go with that. 40 out of 100. Certainly, if it's on your streaming platform, maybe watch it. But I don't think anybody's going to say that if you miss this, you miss something crazy. And my private screening probably is a reflection of how the public thought about this.
I agree. You also got a chance to see another film. This is Ukraine on Fire. This is from 2016. The story of Ukraine may have changed in the last 8 years, huh?
Well, the answer is no, it has not changed, Steve. What makes this so fascinating is, by the way, Oliver Stone is our executive producer, is this film is basically outlining why Russia invaded Ukraine. This is 2016. And I've been following, you know, just a lot of stuff. There's a professor at the University of Chicago I've been following. There's a number of other people who I've followed. And listen, I can watch something from 2012, from 2014, from 2016. They're basically outlining what's really going on and why this ended up happening. And my point of watching this, and why I think that maybe you want to watch this, is it shows that Ukraine is an area that has had lots and lots and lots of really bad things going on there for a long time. You know, there's bombings and coups and all sorts of things going on. And this really outlines what, you know, the challenges of that area is, their relationship to Russia, how Russia thinks of Ukraine, how Ukraine what's going on in Ukraine. And Oliver Stone really he's our executive producer. He's not our director. But he is also the person who is interviewing, and you're interviewing Putin, and Putin is telling you exactly what's going on. It truly is, you know, just an interesting way to go and review modern today's news through the lens of something that is from 2016. And it is so fascinating. They did a follow-up in 2019 called Revealing Ukraine. Once again, it goes even deeper into this. It's fewer interviews, but there are deep interviews with people. They both are, you can find them on a streaming service. You can rent them. If you have interest in what is going on in Ukraine, how Russia is thinking about Ukraine, what NATO, how it fits into it, I think this is if you're not really familiar, it should be eye-opening. It should really kind of give you an idea that this was not something that just happened. This had been planned for a long, long time, and the seeds were planted, and the actions of Russia were certainly, there's no hints that it may happen. It was going to happen.
Okay.
And it was a matter of when it was going to happen. And we just happen to have it going on today.
That is good insight. I'm glad to hear that this was not a surprise, that those people who did those interviews knew what was coming, and maybe that will change the future of how this all ends in Ukraine.
I don't think so. I think Ukraine is going to continue to be an area that just bad things happen to it quite a bit. It's just in the wrong place. You know, you can't help geography. The tensions are very high, and it is just one, you know, civil war after another, one coup after another. It is just, it's just part of its history. It's just part. And if you're a person growing up in Ukraine, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Wow. That's kind of powerful to think about, the just being there, just being a part of that society, just being part of that culture. Just wow.
And I should mention this. You know, I think what's going on in Ukraine is awful for those people. But you know, we have to be very careful on when we're watching news and reading news and stuff like that. You know, what is news and what is propaganda? So that's one of the questions you also have to ask. And you also have to remember that, you know, Oliver Stone is putting this together. Oliver Stone has his own spin on world events and things of that nature. So you have to go through that filter. You know, there's a lot to glean from taking time to study history. I've taken a Russian history course. I've taken through the great courses, interesting enough. It was Rufus? I think his name was Rufus. Anyway, it's a guy from the University of Oklahoma. When he teaches the course, it is it's like listen to a preacher talk about I will pontificate on the history of Russia, which was fascinating. I absolutely loved that. I took that a number of years ago. And then, you know, I've been also following a number of other professors on this subject. And of course, now I've got two movies. And what can I say, Steve? To understand the history, you got to be able to like dive in at some point.
I admire your ability to dive in and to go into history. I went the other way this week and went to the fun on Netflix. There's a new show on Netflix this week called Is It Cake? This is a very silly game show where skilled cake artists come together to make things out of cake, to make a handbag and a sewing machine. And then Mikey Day is the host of this program, and he's ridiculous. And he takes out a knife and he cuts into these handbags and these machines and shows that they are indeed made of cake. This is a fun show. I highly recommend it. It was number one on Netflix for the first few days that it was out. It was then bumped to number two by the new season of Bridgerton. But that's okay. This is a fun show. I suggest highly. There's a
I guess if you need to escape.
This is escapism. 100% this is escapism. This is something that we did. It was raining outside New Orleans. We watched Netflix. Then Netflix suggested another new show called Making Fun. This one, Chip, I think you might actually like. This is a grumpy expert maker named Jimmy and his four real life friends who come together and receive messages from children across the country via Zoom. And these children make up this crazy thing, and this group of friends begrudgingly builds whatever crazy thing these kids come up with. The first one was a dinosaur that belched tacos, and then the kids decided that there needed to be a toilet incorporated into this build, so they build a toilet for these children. This was just absolute joy, looking at this grumpy man who doesn't want to talk to kids, talking to kids and making them happy. It just made me smile the whole time.
Oh my God. All right, Steve, moving over to Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes, to the seriousness. Okay, that's enough fun. Let's get to the seriousness. Oh, no. Mystery Science Theater 3000, Season 13, Episode 2, Robot Wars from 1993 hit the soft launch of the Gizmoplex this week. And several of the people in our community have said that this is their favorite episode from the Jonah era. This was a very good riff on a very bad 1990s movie. The the concept of Robot Wars is a future in which people go to California in this fake ghost town of the 1990s and explore. And it's just ridiculous and glorious in all of its ridiculousness.
My favorite part of this review was the asterisk you threw there. It's the best episode of the Jonah era.
Come on now. This is the third season with Jonah compared to the multiple seasons that we had with Joel and Mike. And yes, he's still finding his footing in the lifestyle of the critical community of Mystery Science Theater viewers, for sure.
Well, there you go. You recommend this.
I absolutely think everybody should throw their money to Joel and go to the Gizmoplex. The Riff Trax boys are coming to the theaters this summer, and money has been thrown at them as well. That's all I can tell you.
All right. Well, Steve, we got to share an experience from afar as you were down in Nolens, and I was in a different area. So, Steve, we got to turn on Disney Plus.
Yes, the premiere of the series Moon Knight finally hit Disney Plus this week. This is a very different type of character from the Marvel Studios. Moon Knight is a person suffering from dissociative identity disorder, previously known as multiple personality disorder. And Oscar Isaacs plays so many different characters in this so well. I am intrigued by episode one, and I look forward to the future of Moon Knight.
Are you talking about Poe Dameron?
Dameron with his fake English accent, and then he goes into his American accent and plays all sorts of different people in one body as Moon Knight. Did you like this one?
This is an interesting setup. The question is, did I like it? I don't know. I think the idea of this first episode was to kind of throw you around a little bit and see just how chaotic this person's life is. And, you got Ethan Hawke in there. Is he the good guy? Is he the bad guy? Obviously there's something going on there. And then when does Moon Knight come in? So, all those years you spent studying your Egyptian mythology could come to play later on.
All those years you've spent studying your Egyptian mythology, Chip, because I don't know mythology, but yes, the Egyptian mythology, the moon god, is certainly going to kick in episode two. I am definitely hooked on Moon Knight, and I look forward to the rest of that series.
Are you serious? Thank you. There you go. Little Egyptian stuff for you.
Hey, I drove through Memphis twice.
Oh, you did. You saw the pyramid, Steve.
Yes, with the best pro shop in it.
In the Delta, Steve. The American Delta.
Opening this week, we've got some movies. The first one's called All the Old Knives. This is two CIA operatives and former lovers reuniting to find out the solution to this long, long history of this mystery, and stars Chris Pine as the smoldering, handsome CIA operative.
Well, I was wondering what James T. Kirk was doing, Steve. A little sabotage of his career or something.
This one looks fun. I think that I will probably wind up watching this one. That one's on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime. Maybe at theaters, too, because I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows anymore? It's
Steve, Easter's almost here. That means the Mel Gibson film's up. So tell me a little bit about what Mel Gibson's doing.
Yep, there is another Mel Gibson movie. Somebody hired him, and the movie is called Agent Game. This is a CIA officer, sounds familiar to the last movie, seeking redemption after being scapegoated for the death of an interrogation subject. This is not a movie that I plan on watching.
Well, Steve, forgiveness around Easter time seems to be the right answer.
Yes. There is one big movie coming out this week that is Sonic the Hedgehog 2. If you recall, Chip's review of Sonic the Hedgehog was very positive because he was in the right theater with the right group of kids.
Absolutely. I think I enjoyed it. And I was really surprised that I would enjoy it. It actually, the first one was all right. And so my assumption is this will be fine too. And of course, Jim Carrey is going to be in it. So, you know, there's going to be some silliness.
Silly Jim Carrey and a really interesting role for Idris Elba playing the voice of Knuckles, the sidekick to Sonic. How they got Idris Elba to do that is beyond me. I have high expectations for this movie based on your review from the first one. There's a movie called Ambulance. This is the latest Michael Bay film. This is Jake Gyllenhaal robbing a bank and then stealing an ambulance to get away. Big explosions, car chases, and guns, also known as Ambulance.
Well, there you go, Steve.
You found a very independent film that's coming out this week. This is called The Secret Society for Slow Romance Movie. Tell us all about this one.
Well, Steve, it's filmed using a Sony MC88 camcorder, which I don't know what that means. I just know what Sony camcorder means. And it's two filmmakers who have decided they're going to solve one of the Earth's big challenges, poverty. Mm-hmm. And there they're going to do it, and they're going to do it through a film, Steve, so you can watch it as a very limited release. You know, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, that is very limited for sure. The trailer on this is a very independent film, two filmmakers with all the best intentions, very interesting concept.
Steve, if you can't get enough excitement from that, you know what you need is a movie about cows.
Oh, you put a plural on it? No, sir. This movie is simply called Cow.
It's a portrait of the daily lives of two cows. Steve, this looks absolutely fascinating.
Might be fun. The Penguin movie was fun. Who knows? Maybe the Cow movie will be great.
Let's run through some music films, Steve, because there's not enough music films.
Yeah, the first one is called Aline. This is a movie lovingly ripped off from the life of Celine Dion. This is a dramatization of a superstar who just happens to sound a lot like Celine Dion.
Well, it's also a reading movie, Steve. It looks like they're speaking some kind of French version of Spanish.
Yes, that's what you'll find on that one. There is a more classical music film. This is Viva Maestro, the story of the Los Angeles Philharmonic music and artistic director, who is, according to the trailer, like a pop star for conductors.
Gustavo, Steve. Gustavo. And guess what? He speaks a Spanish version of Spanish. This probably should have subtitles too.
Okay, we move on to the Norwegian pop stars. Aha have a movie coming out this week. It's called Aha the Movie.
Well, take on me, Steve. Take on me. Try to hit that high note. And the whole point of this is that it is a Norwegian tale of guys making it big with their one song.
Their one hit wonder, Aha, Take on Me, the movie.
Well, you know, and they've been able to tour. They've had like three or four albums that I'm aware of. So they've been able to tour. They still tour today. And, you know, this is about how they made it, Steve. How they left Norway and conquered the world.
No, that's Sweden. That is not Norway. Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. One of my favorite authors, Chip, is John Scalzi. We have talked about several of his books over the course of Too Much Scrolling over the last 8 years, and he came out with a new one this week called The Kaiju Preservation Society. Can you hear me smiling already?
Steve, anytime you mention kaiju and then the preservation of kaijus, I see you there.
Yes, kaiju is one of my favorite genres, the idea of those monster movies where the person is dressed up in the big rubber suit and destroys the city, Godzilla and King Kong and all of those sorts of films. This is one of my favorite things to talk about. And John Scalzi is a person who writes for me, and the Kaiju Preservation Society is a book all about a group finding a way to get to an alternate Earth. Hey, guess what, Chip? It's a book about alternate Earths. Have we talked about that in the last 8 years?
Well, the reality seems to be a part of it. Steven, it takes place during COVID-19, which is, you know, very timely.
Mm-hmm. This is a book written during COVID, taking place during COVID, finding out who we are through this pandemic. And John Scalzi writes about the humanity of who we are, getting to be able to help others, and then goes on to this alternate Earth where there are kaiju and there's a whole nother care being given to the environment here. This is definitely an environmentalist sort of story, caring for the Earth, caring for these monsters, and preserving humanity through that care, making sure that we are caring for each other as well as for the Earth.
So as Godzilla tears up your city, you can think about, like, you know, bringing humanity together, Steve, for a single cause. I can already feel it.
You can. That is the message of this book. They are certainly trying to keep the kaiju out of their Earth. That is a big part of this story, because these kaiju, and I love this, you are going to laugh at this, so you're already holding your face. Here we go. You're going to love this. These kaiju are powered by nuclear forces. They have inside them natural nuclear power plants that power these kaiju.
So let me go ahead and say it. Nuclear. Thank you very much. That is, me and George W. seem to share our pronunciation.
So Scalzi makes up this idea that it wasn't the nuclear bomb that started Godzilla, because that was the concept of Godzilla, was Nagasaki bombing started this mutation in these animals on this Earth. He says, no, that bombing made a hole between our Earth and this alternate Earth, and that's how Godzilla came through to destroy.
You know, Rick and Morty, there is a kaiju, a school, that basically they send the kaiju, naked of course, to our Earth to give us the solution to climate change. I think it's to climate change. Anyway, as they arrive, they're like saying, I don't know, like two parts lemon juice or whatever it is, as like the U.S. military just blows them up. So maybe there was another inspiration to this, Steve.
This is not my favorite John Scalzi novel. I really highly recommend all of the novels that he's written before this. Red Shirts was a fantastic conversation about our fandom of Star Trek, and Head On is an interesting concept of what we could do with our personalities if we could take our personalities out of our bodies and put them into something else. Kaiju Preservation Society, Scalzi actually writes an afterword where he kind of apologizes for this book. He understands that this is not his best writing, and he explains that he actually contracted COVID and he suffered some of the worst challenges of COVID because he felt like his mind was not functioning the way that it used to after he contracted COVID. And he writes in the afterword how there was a different book that he started, and then when COVID hit, he felt like he could not complete that story and started this one instead. It's fascinating to hear him explain how his thinking worked to make this book. I don't love this book, but I enjoy the fun ride. This is a fun ride. This is a silly pop kaiju book that John Scalzi just came up with. The narration on Audible is from our friend Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton has become such a great Audible narrator, and he is entertaining in and of himself telling the story of the Kaiju Preservation Society.
Does he refer to all the readers as number one?
Well, we got through the Bobiverse last week, where the joke was making the Riker character the second Bob, because the joke is he's number two, and that's so childish and silly. Yes, number two, number one, and number two.
Of course, you know, that also goes back to the old Austin Powers. There was a joke there about number two.
I'm sure there was. Austin Powers. This is a good book. I do suggest that you pick it up if you love Kaiju and you love John Scalzi. And if you love Will Wheaton, get the audiobook. I highly recommend Scalzi's other books over this one. This is a 4-star, maybe 3. I think this is a 3-star kind of book. I think I gave it 3 stars on Goodreads. That's The Kaiju Preservation Society by John Scalzi.
Scroll with it.
Brings it to our scroll with it. There's been quite a bit of news this week from the acting world.
There has, Steve. I don't know if you know this. Bruce Willis has been phoning in performances for many, many years, and he has finally decided he's going to retire from acting.
Yeah, he came out this week and declared that he actually has a mental health issue. He has something called aphasia.
And it's the inability to comprehend and formulate language because of damage to a specific brain region.
Mm-hmm.
So something ended up happening. You know, I just want to make sure that people are not, you know, worried that there won't be more Bruce Willis coming. Steve, what do they have? 10 films still in production. Yeah. So there'll be plenty of Bruce Willis. Just, you know, keep your, If your hopes were not too high on any of his movies, you can just lower those down a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh boy, I was a big fan of Bruce Willis. The Die Hard movie was just such a special moment in history. Moonlighting was such a great TV show. And then Bruce Willis just went downhill from there. I'm so sorry to hear that he is suffering from this neurodegenerative disease. But yeah, the last what, decade? When's the last time you saw a good Bruce Willis movie? 3-4 years ago.
What is it even possible?
Yeah, it's sad. The good news is that the Razzies were kind to Bruce Willis. Not a group that is usually too kind to actors, giving them awards for worst actor of the year. They actually took back Bruce Willis's worst actor of the year award, saying, yeah, we acknowledge that it's not appropriate to make fun of somebody who has a real degenerative disease.
Which is also a great reminder that Halle Berry did show up to accept her Razzie 1 year for Catwoman. So yeah, we've got that going for us. If you're going to be an actor, I mean, you have some choices on the material that you use. But at other times, you're taking the paycheck. And why not? Why not accept that award?
Right. At taking the paycheck. I think that Bruce Willis has been doing that for quite a while, maybe since Cop Out. Maybe that was the beginning of the end for Bruce Willis's career.
See, that's not, Bruce Willis is not the only actor to retire this week. You know, Jim Carrey went and tried to one-up him.
On April 1st, Jim Carrey announced that he is fairly serious about retirement, and everybody in the world went, on April 1st, Jim, you're going to retire on April Fool's Day? Really? Is this real? We're not sure. But boy, is that a great way to get the headlines.
He got the headlines. He stole them for Bruce Willis.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with Jim Carrey. He is 60. He is certainly an actor that could do more, and an actor that is sometimes a quiet sort of person in his real life as opposed to his characters on screen.
His characters are a little very over the top, very rubber boned.
I'm sure that's harder to do at 60. Being that rubber boned, that facial expression person.
Well, you know, I think it was a speech he gave about going for it and mm-hmm. about how he was young. He was Canadian, of course. And he just took a lot of risks to make it as an actor. In fact, I would say most actors take a lot of risks to do it. He was able to get on in Living Color, certainly just a highlight of that show. And from there, just made all sorts of fun movies. So, you know, he is a delight. And certainly, yeah, would he be an heir to maybe what Steve Martin was in the 70s, Steve Martin?
A different sort of comedian. Steve Martin was much more thought-provoking than Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey is much more physical comedy. But
very silly. There's a silliness to it. Yeah.
All righty then.
That's right. Well, we wish him Bumblebee Tuna. Bumblebee Tuna.
We are going to do something very silly in the month of April. We are joining the That Damn Podcast Indie Podcast Bracket Challenge. 64 independent podcasts enter and only one leaves. We are going to be a part of a big, fun, kind of April Madness sort of a bracket.
Yeah, yeah. As if the Final Four wasn't this last weekend, and we would like to congratulate the team that, and our team here, won the national championship last night. That was an incredible game. What an incredible run that was. And, you know, if March is March Madness, where the basketball, college basketball, take the 64 best teams and they bring them down to a national championship, you know, why not start it in April? Because, you know, everyone is thinking brackets. So let's go ahead and take a shot at the Damn Podcast, reminding them that March is the month to compete for this. April seems to be one where we have showers waiting for Mayflowers.
Maybe that's what they were trying to do with the Indie Podcast Bracket Challenge. It is going to rain, and we are going to be victorious in this challenge of wonderful people across the country being very silly and mean to each other for a month. I look forward to it. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think we can. I think we are ready for spring. The snow is about to melt in the Chicago area. In New Orleans, it's 84 degrees, just so you know. That's traffic and weather for today. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenfly.
We'll see you in the future. What I want to talk about, what I want to thank you for, what I want.